Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, your home of AFL fantasy and Supercoach draft all year round. I'm the Statesman, and if you're hearing my voice on the intro, you just know it's going to be keeper related. Both the pod and the intro is a farewell gift. Yes, that's right, I've got the arse. And the boys obviously don't have a doctorate in HR because rule number one is if you sack someone, don't give them a microphone. The unrest has been building for some time. Cam has complained that I thought there was only one Dom in the competition with one too many Toms. Doss has clearly shown his displeasure by constantly referring to me as the fossil, which my lawyers say amounts to elder abuse. Jono is upset with the amount of data and the lack of gut feel in my wheelbag, whilst the nail in the coffin of my draft doctor's career was delivered the day I renamed my listener league keeper, Don't Fizz Out Man. And as the statesman of the group, I should have learnt to tank the grand final against the boss. But seriously, I've loved being part of the draft doctors, and I can guarantee this is more of a John Farnham farewell. My work commitments will reduce the chances of me recording with the boys, but I will, where possible, contribute to both the pod and the website, especially with the keeper content. Joining me today is the godfather himself, Stevie Fizz.
Yeah, no, look, it's a sad day. Hello to the listeners, and look, I don't think we'd be where we are right now if it wasn't for the Statesman's sage-like advice. And like you said, I mean, it might be farewell, but it's certainly not goodbye, and I'd like to think that he was more like Lisa Bonet of the Cosby Show fame, where while she was written out of the show, she did drop in from time to time, which I guess if Statesman is our Lisa Bonet, that would make me our Bill Cosby. Sorry, what? Mrs. Fizz, rape. Sorry, I'm not like our Bill Cosby. Sorry, I just had some things come to light. No, but look, I hope the Statesman feels free to drop in from time to time, much like, you know, beloved character Nudge from Hey Dad.
Oh, God.
Which, if Statesman's like our Nudge, that would make me like our Mr. Kelly, our Robert Hugh.
Oh.
sorry, Mrs. Fizz is saying something just again. Kevin Spacey.
And also on today is the man with more gut than feel, Jono Crockett.
G'day, listeners. It is a sad day indeed, but Steve, they are beautiful words you said, but I think the real reason the Stato is leaving is the fact that he doesn't want to do a kickflip when we get to our 250 ratings and reviews. That's simple as that. But we look on the bright side, he does leave us to practice his kickflip, so when he does return, he'll be a master at the kickflip.
Hashtag no skateboard. And then there's Maud.
Okay, Boomer. This week, we're going to look at our fringe scorers from 2019, discussing whether we'd buy or sell them in a keeper league. And firstly as well, congratulations, Statesman. We do have a bit of fun on the show, but it's awesome to have you on. And I do hope you can come in the future and still continue to contribute. So that's good to hear you'll still be part of the show going forward. So each of us have a defender, midfielder and forward that we need to pitch to the panel of sharks and see if anyone is a buyer. That's right. Welcome to Shark Tank Keeper League Edition. We'll start with the sales pitch. Then we'll decide whether we think the player is a buy or sell and if the pitch got the job done to send through a deal. So, Steve, you've compared our jobs here to a used car salesman because the items on sale here aren't the flashiest of things, but we will start proceedings off with the first defender on the market. And who have you got there?
Yeah, no, when you're talking about used cars, you're talking about the number 3 pick in the AFL draft, Callum Mills, if you don't mind. And he is an absolute buy. You've got to get in on this young man. He had a poor year, but he was already a D5 in your Dream Team formats. Much more valuable in your Supercoach formats, of course, but in your AFL Fantasy formats, already at the bargain basement of a D5. Had the 3 tons this year. Can anyone tell me another player that took kick-ins and CBAs within the same match? That's right, Callum Mills did both. I would know that because I charted that particular match. And I think the reason he didn't get the midfield time we've all been hoping was things just fell apart in the Sydney backline. You had Heath Grundy fall apart, old man. Nick Smith didn't even get on the park, All-Australian defender. So things really fell apart from a key position perspective in the Sydney backline. And Callum Mills is so versatile. He was forced to fill a number of roles, including absolutely key defensive posts. Sydney have added ex-Hawks key defender Caden Brandt, who in the VFL was an elite intercept mark. So we're hoping that will free him up. Even if he doesn't get the midfield time, I certainly think there's more ball to go around in the back half. The Swans have lost Jared McVeigh. They've lost Zach Jones. So there's possessions aplenty. Jake Lloyd can't do everything himself. And look, the mid opportunities, I think they try to get him there. They've shown that by putting him in the centre bounces. He certainly has elite skills, which is something Sydney could use through that midfield. I really see him being an absolute bargain basement price. The only way is up. The only way is up. He will never be forced to fill those key defensive roles again. So good times for Callum Mills. Buyers right now.
All right. Got a question for you, Stevie. We saw in the CBAs late in the year last year that it was Luke Parker, Hewitt, Kennedy, a bit of Ollie Florent action in there as well. And then we saw Rowbottom at times as well. You think he's going to be ahead of them in your sales pitch still here, Steve, as well. You think he'll be ahead of them in the centre bounce rotations for next season?
Well, maybe not immediately, but I certainly think he can increase his role there. I mean, Sydney are doing a sly little rebuild, if we're being honest about things. Josh Kennedy's, 47? Same age as you, Doss. So, look, they're looking at their next premiership. So I think they really need to start looking at getting these younger players in there. Yes, what's his chops? Hewitt, he does his role. He plays it well. But I certainly think Callum Mills is certainly more talented midfielder and someone they'll look to get through the midfield. Maybe it's on a wing. I don't think Ollie Florent's an inside midfielder per se. I think he's really built for that outside role. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm Callum Mills' train.
All right, now maybe we'll go around the circle here and sort of figure out if we do think we're a buy or sell. And if Stevie sold us his junk here. Let's kick off with Statesman. You're a Sydney man and you were high on Mills for last season. What do you think on Mills going forward here?
I'm still a buy generally, but I'm even more of a buy after the sales pitch.
Jono, what do you think?
I'm not a great fan of Callum Mills. He's just a fantasy scorer for me. I want to see more, but it could be a hashtag horse out thing. But until I see that real breakout year, I'm not buying that at all. It's just I think I've got a dodgy salesman coming my way, and I don't want anything to do with it.
Do we actually know what sort of a midfielder Callum Mills, like, has he ever shown in there? What sort of a midfielder is he? Is he, like, contested? Can he win his own ball? Does he go outside? Like, I have no idea, so I'm not a buyer myself. But, Steve, let's jump away from the pitch, and what do you actually think on Mills?
Yeah, in Supercoach, I probably would be a buy. But in AFL fantasy, I'd be hard pressed to buy it. When we think about it, he's probably not the he's definitely not the primary user coming out of the back line. He's probably not going to be the second option if Jordan Dawson has anything to say about it. Coming into next year, they've recruited a bunch of forwards at Sydney. So I think Jordan Dawson is locked into that back half. He's not unless he becomes an elite interceptor, which I don't think that's going to happen because they've already got Alir back there. And you know, Dane Rampey's about as good a defender as you'll get in the AFL. I find it hard to believe that there's a world where he actually does enough to find a score unless he pushes to a wing, which is possible. But I find it hard to believe that even if he gets that wing role, he's going to be listed as a midfielder. But what's he going to average? It's not going to be rosterable most weeks, I don't think. So for me, I don't actually like... in Supercoach, yes, I'm more for it. But I'm not buying in AFL fantasy. I don't see the world where he becomes a fantasy star.
Okay, unless there's any more on Cal Mills. Jono, it's time for you to pitch our next player on the market.
Yeah, so this guy started off his career like the hottest thing you'll get. He's got that new car smell still after having a slight accident there on the freeway. And that, of course, is Alex Witherden. We saw his first year and a bit that he is able to score particularly well, where we saw him average 88 the last couple of years, where it dipped this year down to 75 in AFL Fantasy and 72 in Supercoach. Now, that was because Chris Fagan decided he wanted someone with a bit more experience and a bit more of a booming kick in Daniel Rich to take the kick-ins and be that guy to kick it from that defensive 50. It did affect his scores, but now that Luke Hodge has gone as well as that other rebounder, Witherden's going to be that number two guy. And remember, Alex Witherden is 21 years old, so he's got that new car smell still on board with him. And Daniel Rich will be turning 30. So he's at the end of his career while Alex Witherden is still starting his career. A lot of teams these days, they like to use two rebounders out of the defensive 50s. And we actually have seen a tag come Daniel Rich's way. So if that ever is the case and the tag comes Daniel Rich's way, that's going to free up Alex Witherden to maintain those scores that we saw him at the start of his career. Will he be a big 100-plus averaging defender? No, but it's still high 80s, low 90s. It's certainly on the cards for Alex Witherden, and I'm very keen on him.
Has anyone got any questions? Anyone on the Shark Tank panel got any questions for Jono before we get into our buy or sells?
No, but I'm definitely a sell. I think people have a much more inflated opinion of Alex Witherden, to be honest. I don't disagree with anything you said, Jono, and I think it's part of it now. I was all over him at the beginning of last year. I'm not now. I'm sort of convinced that he's going to be a bit player, and I think people have still got this little tag of he's going to be a top three defender. So I think he's a sell candidate right now. You get the most out of him.
I'm a buy.
I'm a buy, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm a buy. I think the reasoning for me is that last year the Lions went from being a really focused, the year before, like in 2018, they were really focused on the uncontested ball, and they changed that this year to be really focused on the contested. They got a lot of people in to do that, Lachie Neal, Jared Lyons. They really wanted to win the contested pill. And I think that gets you so far, and that was really their game plan, and they sort of accelerated and got a bit further than what they thought they were going to get. They've got Cam Ellis-Yolman in for even more contested, but I think where they're going to start improving now that they've had that year under their belt is working on the outside and getting crisper on the outside. You've got Luke Hodge leaving as well. We don't know how much Birchall's impact is going to be. There's about 16, 17 touches to go around. I think Witherden's disposal is still awesome, and I mean, I think I'd still be a buy. I understand what you're saying though, Statesman. He is very highly regarded in the fantasy community. And I think the problem that I've had actually being a buyer in a keeper league at the moment is nobody's willing to give him up still, because he's still got that pedigree from a couple of years ago, and you're going to have to give in so much. And that's where I think you're right in terms of he could be a sell, because what you're getting back could be pretty big. Steve, what do you think?
Doesn't it seem like Daniel Rich is going to age well?
Yes.
It seems like it. Like, he's gotten over those injuries that he had early in his career as well. But
is there a possibility that, you know, when Mitch Robinson hangs them up, that Witherden moves up the ground? Maybe? I don't know.
In as well, so I don't know.
Callum Archie is a forward pocket. Like, I think
Brandon Archie, one of the Archies. I don't know which one it was.
I think the problem is that like you guys have already mentioned, that whoever has him is going to have that. You know, they're still going to have that good taste of what his good scores were like, and it's probably going to cost you too much because he's young. So, I'm probably in between. It depends what you're going to have to give up for him.
What I will say love as that well is...
Classic Finch sit right there.
Witherden does have a... He does have a three in his score from last season, though, doesn't he?
So, I mean, his average is in the first minute and a half, that's why.
Yeah. So, I mean, his average is actually lower than, you know, technically what he should be on.
But
this
you're not buying him in his average, though.
No, exactly.
You're
no,
buying him at 2 years ago. Well, last year, sorry, I should say.
Yeah. So, what I'm getting is most of us probably don't think he's going to get back to that level at least next year. And you're saying, Steve, his pathway back to scoring could actually be a role change more than anything.
It could be. Could be. Mm. I don't know. I really don't know what to do with Alex Witherden. I'm probably just staying away and just letting you... You know, if he comes good, good for the owner. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Lads, who likes more mid-time? Because, boy, do I have the player for you. According to the player rating system, this guy that I'm going to talk about is the nicest player in the AFL, sitting as the 69th best midfielder in the comp. I'm speaking, of course, of Andy McGrath. Playing mostly on a wing in 2019, Andy McGoat finished the year with two huge performances that you'd probably remember freshly and fondly. That's that 28 disposals against the Pies where he notched an AFL fantasy ton in round 23. Then another 100 points and 30 disposals in the Bombers elimination final loss to West Coast. For the season, he averaged around 7 contested and 14 uncontested possessions a game. That's a really nice mix. That could look great if he gets more of those 25-plus disposal games in 2020, which, you know, he will, of course. Even if Andy is a mid-only in 2020, there's plenty of reasons why you should be excited. You'll be buying a guy that at worst will be playing full-time wing next season with a couple chop-outs in the midfield. There's huge upside of him when he finally does get that inside midfield time, considering he only attended centre bounces during 3 of the final 11 games and only at a maximum of 6% of the total centre bounces on offer during that time. So barely any midfield time. But who did the Dons get this off-season, you ask? That's right, Tommy Cutts, the second best rig in the AFL and the second best rig of all time behind Dossie. He should slot right into that wing spot. And your new star midfielder, Andy McGrath, will jump straight into that Essendon inside midfield, replacing the underwhelming likes of Dylan Clark and Kyle Langford, while allowing Heppel a little bit more of that sweeping role and provide a bit of chop out for the returning from injury, Devin Smith. If you need anything more to convince you that Andy is set to be the next big thing, not only does he feature in the famed Statesman's 22 under 22 list, sitting at number 21 in that list. He also was a Jet midfielder as a junior, averaging 118 AFL fantasy and 144 Supercoach points in the TAC Cup. Right around those godly junior numbers of one Sir Hugh McCluggage. Watch out, 2020 is Andy McGoat's season. So we'll start the bidding at Jack McRae and go from there.
Not quite Jack McRae from me. I'm sticking fat with him. Not a bad sales pitch, Haydos, but I already liked him. But I need to ask Steve because he was shaking his head the whole time.
Andy McGrath is just rancid. Just absolutely rancid. He's not even going to have defender status next year.
Yeah, well, that's I got to say, that's what I was thinking when I got given him. He's into my defender thing, and I was that is my note that I've got here. He's listed as a mid on the AFL player ratings, which is what a lot of people are referring to at the moment when deciding DPP. So.
He needs one thing. There's one thing that's going to save him, and that is a coaching change, because that could... If there's a new coach, then the new coach is not begotten to any player who's already in there. Think they had every reason to put him in the center square last year, right? Think about the shit trucks you saw going... Sorry, I shouldn't say shit trucks, but Kyle Langford, Parrish, Stringer, all the Tipper... All these guys are going through there in front of him, and you're going to add in Devin Smith to that, who I know wasn't a full-time mid the year before, but he was in there plenty enough. They had every reason to put him in there last year. They didn't. That, to me, is terrifying, especially when you're considering someone's coming back into the team. I don't get it. I don't get the love. if they had, if the coaching change was right this second, and Worsfold was out, and I'd be like, please get him in there. It's much like, you know, Ross Lyon wouldn't put Blakely in there last year, despite the fact they had every reason to do it. Now you've got a coaching change. Maybe the new coach is going, hey, you know what? I like this guy a bit more in there, and things will just work out. That's what I'd be hoping for McGrath, but...
Would you say it's scarier that the fact that the new coach who's, you know, we've got a new coach there tabbed for a year away in Big Butt Rutten, is that scarier the fact that he's actually already in the club there and I mean, you know, he's seeing what's going on? Is it less likely for him to make those drastic changes when he's already been watching what's going on, sort of thing?
I wouldn't think so, because he probably... Why would there be a coaching change if things were going well? So he can probably, you know what it's like if you're in a business, like, you know, Dossie, you know, you probably see blokes picking fruit and you're like, mate, I can pick a fucking pear better than you, sort of thing. Like, why doesn't the boss say something? That's what happens in businesses, you know, you can see someone's doing something wrong, but they're ahead of you or whatever. And maybe that's the case. But the problem is they spent so much on what's his name, Dylan Scheel, and you've already got a massive accumulator on the other wing in Zach Merritt. I am terrified. I'm not buying Zach Merritt, man. What's his name? Andy McGrath. Not buying.
Fair enough.
Yes, I would like to say I'm not buying him either, but I think I've got him in a couple of leagues, so please take note of that sales pitch. All right, Stato, take away your player that you're going to sell us here.
Now, I will say that I gave myself what I perceived as the hardest sales pitch. So what I've done is I've dug into the icons of Australian advertising to ensure that I can get the job done, because I'm selling hacks here. Hi, I'm Stato from Demtel. Tell me, do you have a team full of defenders that are dull and need that injection of young talent? I know I have. Well, let me introduce you to Port Adelaide's Ryan Burton. He's the type of young talent that will stay on the park forever. He kicks perfectly every time, slices through the opposition defence and takes a great intercept mark. This is a truly amazing offer. In this offer, you will also get a player who is a first round draft pick. But wait, there's more. He was also able to score a ton in only his fourth ever game of AFL. But there's still more. In his first season, he averaged 84 with 8 scores over 90. And in 2 four-game runs this year, he's averaged over 90. You'll never need another defender. He is value at a D2 with the potential of getting a D1. But forget that price. Here at the Draft Doctors, and for this one-time only offer, you can get him at the price of a D4. And this comes with the Draft Doctors pick back guarantee if you're not happy with the product. So don't delay. By Ryan Burton now.
There's the sale pitch, lads. What do we think of Ryan Burton? Who's buying Burto? Don't all rush at once, boys.
You go, John.
Sorry, I was just clearing my throat there. I'm actually keen on Ryan Burton. We did see him get played out of position when he left Hawthorn, and his scoring dropped out of the down to the floor, and then he had a bit of an injury there at Port Adelaide. When he did come back, he was actually pretty solid. I think he went into that Dan Houston role as that sweeper interceptor at the back line there. So his scores really improved. And I think in a lot of leagues, he might have been sitting on the waiver wire, because he certainly wasn't going drafted based on his average the year before. And if he's floating around there as an offer, I'm pretty keen to buy him, especially as super coach.
Yeah, I'd probably consider a buy of Ryan Burton, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence with Ryan Burton, but I was a pretty big buyer of Ryan Burton. But something actually, the Statesman's discussion we had earlier in the year when I was looking to buy him, I think, and Statesman sort of talked me out of it, just based on the how you perceive players in keeper leagues and how you've sort of had your success looking at guys that just play games, and Ryan Burton has just not been one of those players is a big issue, especially so early in his career. And that's what draws me back. But the scoring has always just been a massive draw card for Burton, because when he puts it together, it looks awesome. And it's obviously looking at what he did at Hawthorn for that stretch. In only, was that his first or second year that he just... like,
it was the second.
Second year, first full year.
But that's 2 years ago now. Mm. Well, that's forgotten. Mm. And it's not like he was a top 10 guy.
No.
So I'm just saying maybe the shine's worn off a little bit, that's all.
The only thing I'll say about him is that I was probably harshing him on the injury side of things. So when doing a little bit of the research, he's averaged 19 games over the last three seasons.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
Mm. Take that.
So what about yourself? Off the books now, Stato, would you be more of a buyer? Or it sounds like you're still not really that excited.
No, and all of those are of great interest. Mills, Witherden, McGrath, Burton. But I'm not convinced any of them is going to be a superstar, but they're all capable of.
Mm. Especially with it being DBJ season next year. Midfielders now,
let's go to the hacks.
Alrighty. Steve, take away your midfielder that we're going to be buying.
Look, when we're talking gun midfielders, we're talking Gold Coast Suns. We're talking Took Miller. Okay? So, the laughter doesn't help, boys. The laughter doesn't help. But hey, look, you know, Took Miller, he's all right. He's a player in the AFL. Good for him. He was the ranked 58th midfielder by average in your AFL fantasy score. One spot behind Hugh McCluggage, who I'm sure people would bar up over if they had him in their own keeper team. And he did average more than guys like Tom Phillips and Isaac Heaney and Gary Ablett and Brad Hill and Dane Beams and Jared Pollock. So don't you be laughing at old Took Took. He's just killing it. And the problem with old Took is basically he got freed up a bit last year, whereas we've always seen him as a bit of a role player. And look, he did still play a couple of roles, and unfortunately that's going to be the thing that's affected his average. He copped a 28, I think, in one game, played a couple of forward tagging roles. But this guy showed a ceiling, which is something your beloved Hugh McCluggart, what a misnomer that is, has never shown us. Old Took Took dropped a couple of 140s this year, plenty of 100 pluses, averaged 102 over the last seven games. Quite a nice sample size there. And if there's one thing we've actually seen, it's that Gold Coast are actually starting to bring along other taggers. That's right, Sean Lemons is becoming their main tagger. Would know that, being a lifelong Gold Coast Suns fan. what are the Suns trying to do? They're trying to change their culture, right? They're bringing in a lot of young talent. It's all about the culture change. Guys who are willing to stay. Of course, you're going to take a guy who captained Victoria in his junior days as someone who did that. Young leaders like Took. And look, I know the roles are always a possibility of a role change with Took, because he is such a great leader, such a determined, fierce man, willing to do anything for his team, lay 14 tackles in a game. That's no worries for Took. So I don't think the tagging will be in his repertoire next year if they're bringing in guys like Sean Lemons. We've seen him training in the midfield group already this preseason. So if it's going to be a forward switch for Took, that's going to be good news, because he'll get forward status. So get on board that for the old Took.
Stevie, I loved your pitch, and look, there's only one drawback that I'm really worried about here, and I was almost sold. And then I checked the centre bounce attendances that we recorded, and the last one that we recorded in round 22, there's just a concerning stat here. So Miller attended a fair few. He attended 13 of 29. What really concerns me is who was favoured ahead of him. Someone attended 14, one more than Took in round 22, and it was one George Horland Smith, Steve. It's a no from me. I'm not a buyer, I'm afraid. Too many mids coming in next year for Gold Coast. We've got Just a plethora of picks coming through that they're going to want to play in there. Fiorini's going to be getting 90% of the centre bounce attendances, as we both know, Steve. As we both know. And that's going to be happening next year. So, Statesman, what have you got on Took Miller?
I'm a buy, and I'll explain why I'm a buy. Because he's dirt cheap. You give up nothing and you get Took Miller.
And a chance for a forward status Took Miller too.
Jono, yeah. I know you love plethora.
Plethora?
Plethora.
Plethora.
Plethora. Three amigos. Should be right in your wheelbag there, Dossie, being 52 years old.
I think the Steve Martin and the other guy who I don't know because I am not that old, Steve, are coming to Adelaide, so get around
them. Yeah, Martin Short, yeah.
No one wants to see that. Netflix show going.
Yeah, I would not be buying Took.
Yeah,
I understand he's dirt cheap. The problem is that you're bringing in Hugh Greenwood, who essentially does the same thing Took does, and that's lay a bunch of tackles, and that's what he needs to build his score.
Cool.
Okay, Jono, looks like you've got your boy to talk
about
here.
Yeah, boy.
As we figured out last week on the You Suck Show.
That's right. He's got a few miles on the clock, but, you know, he runs well. He's entering his sixth season. That is my boy, Trent Dumont. Look, he's not going to be a star, and he's not going to be a hack. He's just one
of those... He's not a star.
He's not a star. He's just getting... He gets out there. He does his job. He'll get his 20-odd possessions a game, get his four marks and four tackles. But what we can see is a score build in there. This is a guy that's pumped out 160s in super coaches, 130 this year. Rhys Shaw, the new coach, needs to get him in the guts. We saw later in the year that Sean Higgins, who did sign a one-year contract, was out of that midfield at times, and when Trent Dumont was in there, it was his time to shine. Now, Doss, I know you don't like guys, midfielders who average 90 to 95 like Jared Pollock, but these guys are important. You need them in your team as your M6 and as an M7. So Trent Dumont is someone who can play that M6, M7 role. Maybe not right now, but in a year or two's time, look, he's entering the peak of his powers. And look, Steve, you're a guy who likes players who can find their own ball. And of his possessions this year, Trent Dumont gathered 31% of his possessions were all contested. So a third of his possessions contested. We can see the big ceiling there. And if he does get more mid-time, then we can see those constant scores of close to around the 100 mark each and every week. So you wouldn't have to give up too much room, but I'm certainly semi-keen on him.
All right, boys, who's buying Trent Dumont?
Can I say this feels like one of the players that I'm going to own three times in his early days, always farming him off or delisting him or whatever the case may be, and end up regretting that he could have been one of those baseline midfielders. I don't reckon he's ever going to be a fantasy jet, but he's someone I'll regret that I knew I had in my squad once.
He's just back up. Like, he's not going to be, as we said, that star, but he's a filler.
Yep.
So he was playing mostly wing in 2019, Johnny. Is that what you
in and
said
out.
Before?
He was in and out, yeah. From the games of the North, I've tracked.
It's almost a tiny bit of a scary moment to potentially sell. I don't think he'll drop off heaps, so it's probably just a hold for me. But, I mean, North have a bunch of guys that they could be potentially running through the midfield next year that could end up bad news for Dumont in the long term. I think he's established himself enough on the outside. Like you said, he can sort of win a contested ball and an uncontested ball, so should be okay. But, I mean, you've got guys like the younger guys coming through, LDU, Taron Thomas, as well as they re-upped Higgins. So they've still got a lot of midfield depth per se. So where the outside's where they've sort of had the problem, and they've got if Dom Tyson plays, plays in the ones, and Aaron Hall coming in. So that's the other issue I've got. No. But Steve, what do you think on Trent Dumont?
I think he would be I think he's more of a sell than Took is, to be honest. I'd be quite happy holding Took to fill my M7 bench spot. Whereas I think the only way is down for Trent. And you can look at the average, but he actually started the first half like a house on fire, and the second half was absolute garbage. And we know that's when they had a new coach in. We know they continue to bring in recycled talent from GWS. They've just brought in Bonner. I really like Taron Thomas. They've brought in Pollock on a big money deal. I would assume they'll go to the well again next year. I don't see a spot where he averages 90. I'm all out on Trent Dumont. And I would package him up and sell him off.
All right. Finally, a strong take from Steve. It's been a while, but I'm glad we got one out of you. All right. We'll move on to the next player. And everyone loves a captain option in their fantasy team. And Jack Viney is a captain option. Sure, it might have been an underwhelming year in 2019 in terms of fantasy for Viney, averaging the 82 fantasy and 80 super coach points. But that was his lowest output in both formats since 2014. So you are buying low, my friends. Multiple injury-affected games in 2019, and we can deduce that he probably played through injury with that nasty AC joint injury as well that he copped from the famous Sydney stack bump. He also got knocked out against West Coast, playing only about 30% time on ground, and he played the next week as well. And those next two games following his concussion, he laid 2 and 0 tackles, which was his 2-season lows after averaging over 5 for the year. So plenty of injury-affected scores, and his average on paper is being undervalued. We also know how disappointing Melbourne were overall last year, and in fact, I've got some data for you on this one, which is pretty surprising, actually. So they were the 4th worst fantasy scoring team in 2019 after being the 2nd best in 2018. Per game, the D's went from putting up around 16, 26 points per game down to 15, 19. So that was a loss. They had an overall loss of 106.7 points per game. Aside from Essendon, which, you know, may tip my Andy McGrath scales, my argument earlier as well, they had a 91.2 drop off Essendon. The next biggest drop was way down at 46.6 points, which was the Tom Mitchell-less Hawks. So that's a huge amount of points gone missing last year at the D's that, you know, if they are on their way back, the points could be on their way back too. Look, you don't need me to tell you that a bounce back in average in 2020 is a guarantee, and pushing that 90 to 100 barrier is a virtual certainty, just like he did in his 3 years prior. This will be Viney's, believe it or not, first ever in uninterrupted preseason. Pretty crazy considering it's his 8th preseason. So watch out. Lastly, the D's bolstered their outside stocks this offseason. They're looking to control the ball more, and they'll be able to do that with the likes of Lever, May, and Jeddah strengthening the defensive department. Jack Viney's only 25 years old. He's in his prime. More disposals, more tackles, pure inside time, full preseason. Captain, option. What more do you want? Who's buying, lads? Jack Viney.
I'll buy.
Okay. We have a buy.
I'll buy. Yeah, I actually think he's a buy. Unfortunately, things have been gone to shit for him since, you know, good players have gone into the Melbourne engine room. Mostly. Namely, Clayton Oliver. Things have been south for Jack Viney. But I actually think he is a buy because he has just been that rancid. 82 average. I see him being a 90 player. I know that's not sexy, but you need it to fill out your team. There's that much stank around him. I think people would probably cut him if they're only keeping 10 or 12 in a 10 or 12 team league. I think he's fallen that far. I'd absolutely pick him up and hope to things that improve. But just on that rancid average for a captain, a couple of captains who did average worse. Number one, super fraud Joel Selwood averaged worse. And Trent Cotchin only averaged 70 last year.
Man, I don't know how you've made me root for Joel Selwood for season 2020 just so I can replay a couple of these takes. But you've managed to do it.
Probably the biggest fraud in the AFL.
You're going strong. I respect you going strong on this one. We've had one buy. Now, who do we have for Jack Viney? Jack Viney going once, going twice. Statesman, are you in on Jack Viney for season 2020?
Yeah, I'm holding to a buy.
Yeah, it's not as excited as I was hoping you'd be, but what about you, Jono?
Yeah, well, you're not going to get anything for him if you do sell him, so you're going to buy low, aren't you? And look, certainly in your Supercoach keeper leagues, I'll be taking him because he actually was pretty good in the second half of the year for Supercoach, so I'm interested.
All right. The Geelong fans have stopped listening, including Cam. So, Statesman, do you want to take away your next midfield person you're going to sell us?
I like Tommy Rick Cutler. Tommy Rick Cutler for me. I like him on the inside. I like him on the wing. Some time in the midfield is where good scores begin. His quality is high. As his rig will imply, he's a bomber now. And one good reason why. I like Tommy Rick Cutler. Tommy Rick Cutler for me. To purchase, ring 1-800-288-7744. That's 1-800-CUTS-RIG.
I'm in, Stato. Give me some Tommy Cuts next year. Who else is buying Tommy Cuts? In all seriousness, I mean, well, he's probably really not owned by too many people out there. So if you can pick up someone at the moment, you might as well pick him up. He only played 3 games last year. I'd see where it goes, but yeah, I mean, you're buying pretty low at the moment, and you'd just be hoping that Tommy Cutts actually plays next year. I mean, he's touted to play on a wing, so that would what that I think would be he what does. Hoping for. And I mean, he's put together some solid scores.
9 tons out of his 66 games, where he's had limited opportunity, but he has shown a ceiling. He's had a score in the 130s and 142 against Carlton in 2018. So he's got a ceiling.
Yeah. I think there's room for Tommy Cuts in Essendon easily, and I think you get a run. It just depends on where his score build, if he can actually really just float on that wing and get some easy touches out there. And you'd hope Tommy Cuts can, but I think, you know, all of us would be keen to get him if he's super cheap out there for next season and just see how it goes. All right, lads, I think we'll move on to our forwards. And Steve, you want to start off the forward run here of buyers?
Yeah, it's nice to talk about a good player for a change. And I'm going to talk about Jack Gunston. And how could you not be buying low on Jack Gunston? All he's done is be awesome across his whole career, except for this year. I'm scrolling down trying to find his score. So it's his worst year, and he's still an F5. That's a rosterable player. Doesn't miss games ever, unlike half of these hacks we're talking about. And I'm sorry, what does Hawthorn get back into their team this year? A Brownlow medal winner. So good times for Jack Gunston and all the Hawthorn forwards, I think. He averaged the 76 this year. It's a 10-point drop-off from his previous 3 years. And of course, he had the massive 92 average in AFL Fantasy in 2015, probably the last of the Hawks' good years. And what did Hawks have in their forward line that year that really worked for them? A big, tall forward line. They had David Hale up there. They had Jared Roughead up there. Well, the Hawks have got some great young developing talent in Mitch Lewis. They brought across the general, John Patton.
No, you can't call him the general anymore. He doesn't like it. It's just Paddo.
Sorry, the former G-dub general. Big Paddo. Things going well. I expect, those guys to be camped inside 50. Jack Gunston to be leading out, taking those marks that we like to see that are going to get those plus sixes on the board. Tom Mitchell, good ball user. Get it out of the midst of those hacks like Jimmy Warple. Of course, had Chad Wingard come across and start playing some midfield, building his fitness up from that horrible regime under the dictator, Command Kosh, over in Port Adelaide. Get away from him. Tom Scully's built his fitness. Another good ball user over at Hawthorn. So things are only looking up for Jack Gunston. As much as I don't like buying forwards, he's still only 28. Get around him. He'll get back to those mid-80 scores and be a valuable contributor to your keeper team.
Jono, you buying Jack Gunston?
I don't think I am. Not just yet. Not just yet. I mean, they've got, as Steve said, you've got Patton, Mitch Lewis, and then you've also got, they got McAvoy and Segler playing a 1-2 ruck combo as well. So I know we saw McAvoy go down back, but I just want to see where Gunston's playing, what his role is. Yes, he may play up the ground, taking more marks, might have less goals, but yeah, I'm holding at the moment. I'm going to sit on the fence on this one.
Did I mention that his goal conversion rate was the lowest it's ever been? Anomaly. It only can get better from here.
I can always get better. I'm going to wait and see. I'm sitting on the fence for Jack Gunston in 2020.
Now, Stato, what do you think on Jack Gunston? Are you a man that's going to be buying him for season 2020?
I think he's a sell for me. I just think there are people that will still be very hot on him. So I think that's when you get the value. He's 28 going 29. Sell for me, and that's more structure, not the sales pitch.
Wow. Complete opposite of Stevie. And I know Steve's sales pitch is genuine because you are pretty big on the Gunston for next season, at least you have sounded so far. I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on Jack Gunston. I don't think I'll go out and buy him. Sort of just a hold. I can see where you're talking his score build can improve, but I also see Jono's side of thinking as well. So move on to Jono and Will Hoskin Elliott is your player you're looking at.
Yeah, my parents taught me that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I'm sold on this guy. How the hell is he even on the list? I mean, he had 3 fantasy tons this year, and they were all against the Crows, who were crap, the Demons, who were crap, and the Suns, who were crap. And he only probably got... He was relevant in the last 5 is because DeGoey was out with a hamstring, and Stevenson was banned through gambling. So that's the only reason his scores got propped up, and I don't want any part of him. He's only good for marks, and that's it. I wouldn't even sell him. I'd delist him.
Fantastic sales pitch, Jono, but I'm with you. He's a sell.
Yeah, agreed. Although Chris the Goat Maine, getting a year older, he might have a bit more of a fantasy-friendly roll-up in that spot, maybe. But yeah, I'm not keen on Will Hoskin Elliott. And Steve, I'm guessing you're the same?
Yeah, ditto.
All right, my forward. I'll get through this quickly. And look, I honestly don't think I'll be selling this guy. Just putting him on the market just in case. It's Carlton's number one recruit of the off-season, Jack Nunes. New year, new Nunes. Started hot in 2019, averaging 90 AFL fantasy and 93 Supercoach over his first 7 games. Then plummeted back to earth. Cam thought he had the bet in the bag, and he only averaged 59 AFL fantasy and 60 Supercoach the rest of the way. But expect those big early scores back in 2020 because that early fantasy-friendly role is back for the coming season. He's already talking about spending some quality time in the guts for some hashtag more mid-time. And seeing as according to list manager, he's also a hashtag mature body, he'll be ready to take on that task. He's a forward mid as well here, and you can hope he retains that heading into next season. I think he'll have a solid role. He's got the 3-year deal. They'll want him out there with the young core. And what's his best ability, you ask? That's right, availability. The most valuable of all abilities. Nunes played 120... Nunes played 123 straight games before Alan Richardson gave one last fuck you to the Saints faithful, breaking poor Nunes' streak. All right, all done. Who's keen on Nunes? And if Cam was here, I'm sure he's a buyer. But is anyone else a buyer? Anyone buying Jack Nunes?
I'd buy it just for that line, the best of the abilities.
Anyone else?
Yeah, look, Dossie, I know where you've taken that line from. And I think his best ability is actually staying on an AFL list, much like Dan Curry. No one screams backup like Jack Nunes, quite frankly.
But 4 years in the Saints leadership, and he's bringing all that experience of coming in the bottom half of the table over to Carlton.
And what's happened now? They've got good players.
He's gone.
See you later.
He's gone.
Jono?
To Carlton.
Oh, no. I'm not buying him at all.
Okay. And plus, by the way, if you
draft Jack Nunes and he has a good year, good for you.
Yep.
I'll say one major problem here is that he's listed as a midfielder on the AFL player ratings thing that people are referring to by Champion Data. If he's a midfielder, I'm not touching him. If he's a forward, you know, maybe we'll give him a crack as that really, you know, bargain pick at the end of the draft, but I wouldn't be buying him in a keeper unless it's really deep. Stato.
Hello. Stato's bargain for forward lines. This week, forward lines have the beautiful player in Billy Dale, slashed up to 30% and more. Yes, until Sunday, only at forward lines, averaging a beautiful 82 in his last 5. But only until this Sunday. Rush in your forward lines and save.
There you go, Bailey Dahl. AKA National Tiles.
Don't you ever get that when you're driving the car and you just know what's going on with you? Hello.
I do get it. I don't know if the execution was the execution was great. Now that you say it, of course I know that. You're wondering if I knew that. I know that ad. It just, I don't know. Good try. Well done.
Anyway, Bailey Dale, last 582. I will say the only thing that has me sold on him a little bit is the that Western Bulldogs form at the back end of the year was so good, and he was actually part of that. And I think whoever was part of that, they're going with pretty early, I reckon.
Yeah, Bruce coming into that team might slow it down a little bit. I think they'll focus. He'll be the focus going inside that 50. But look, I used him as a stream towards the end of last year, but he's not someone I'd be looking to buy. Maybe as a sell. Maybe as a sell, you could hoodwink someone into picking into taking him off your hands. But yeah, certainly wouldn't buy him or package him up.
There's a bit of hype. There's a bit
exactly
of hype.
Exactly right.
Oh, I think I'm a sell. I'd say most of his score builds that were good were just bulk goals, and like you said, they brought in goal kickers to kick those snags when they finish him off, and he was never playing through the midfield. They had guys like the other people that were chopping out was Lipinski and Libber and Bailey Smith.
Well,
so
2 years ago played out of defence and a wing, but
there's another Bailey for that role, mate, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
no, look, he's a jag for me, just a guy. You know, Staceman might talk about his last five and the average, but, I mean, none of those scores were really amazing. And if that's the peak of your powers, then the only way is down across the season. So I'm not interested.
Is there any good Baileys?
Bailey Smith, plus.
Even that.
Just wanted to see his reaction.
All right, we'll quickly smash through some questions here, I think. And they're from social media. You can follow us at The Giraffe Doctors. We got some questions coming in. One from Russ. He says, cover your ears, Doss. Is it time to sell Fiorini? I'll earmuffs this one. His output dropped in the second half of 2019. Ellison Henderson come in, Weller may push up the ground, two top line draftee mids are set to come in, and his disposal efficiency is less than awesome. Have we reached peak go to Rainey? I'll let someone else take this one.
Yes, we have.
I will say, Doss, that the listeners can't see you putting your hands over your ears. That's a visual gag. This is not a visual forum. Yes, I think he has. I always worry, Doss, and I think I don't know how many times in our private messaging that I send you, why does it keep starting on the bench and they're going to bring in three or four other mids?
Yeah, I don't really know either. I mean, I'm still huge on him, and I've got no reason but gut feel. I think he will be in there. I love the way his attitude is purely, he's one of these guys that does what the coach wants, which, you know, could work against your favour if you're talking that way. But I think he does everything that Dew wants. He definitely went back to Fiorini at the end of the year, even though he sort of went away from him for a little bit there. He went back to giving him bulk centre bounces in that same round 22 match I was talking about. He had the highest of all the mids. Obviously, Jared Witts had led them. Then it was Fiorini in there. They went back to him. So I'm hoping, and my thinking is, the guys that are going to be pushed out, we're talking all these players coming in, the guys that are going to be pushed out, in my opinion, and I'm hoping, is like your Lemons and your role player types. And I think they're just going to go with a bit of a more spread of centre bounce guys and reduce a few around the place. So I think Fiorini's going to be fine, and at worst, he's going to be playing on a wing or even a halfback racking up. So, Steve, I know you're a bit lower on Fiorini, though.
Oh, I don't see any way. You have to sell him. I think you have to sell him. Surely.
Yep, there'll be a Doss in every league.
All right, Daniel says, would you rather live in a world without headphones or without doors?
Headphones.
Doors. Phil.
And I can't masturbate behind headphones.
Well,
it is that small, you could.
Hey, Jono.
Phil B. What is a reasonable and fair punishment for someone leaving a keeper league? And should the person coming in be compensated if the team is in a shambles?
Can I say it depends on who the person is. Now, if it was a DOS or a CAM that was departing, you'd actually celebrate.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was going to say, well, CAM inherited a bit of a shambles Keeper League team, so it would be interesting to see what his thoughts were.
And DOS actually inherited a red-hot team and turned it to shit.
Oh, come on. Look, I think that's what you actually got to look at, though. A shambles coming in may not actually be a shambles in reality and the opposite as well. Things can change in a year. I had all the guys like your Brayshaw and your Beams and guys like that, and in 1 year, everything can turn to shit, whereas Cam, you know, was holding a few guys that broke out, made a couple of trades with guys like Statesman to really bolster his team, get guys like Josh Kelly in and get rid of a bunch of spuds, and he managed to do that. Steve, what have you got?
I would say just on the person coming in, I know we're big advocates of Facebook groups and you know, hanging shit on people, but I would say maybe lay off them for the first year, or at least be easy on them, because if they've inherited a bad team, they're maybe going to have to make some questionable moves to try bring them team back to relevance. Maybe they're not an experienced fantasy football coach, and the one thing you don't want to deter people from doing is making trades, so I'd maybe just be easy on them for the first year.
Fair call.
All right, TWR, who's going to fetch more value on the market if you're selling Frisch, Chera, or Danaher? Can keep one.
I'm keeping Chera out of that.
Yeah, who's going to fetch more value? I'd say Chera or Danaher. It's probably league dependent, but probably Chera.
Yeah, I would have been selling Danaher after those all the trade. The trade radio, you would have heard his name so much, his value was at an all-time high at that point. Miller time.
I don't think Fritch maybe is super big on the outside of the fantasy world.
Yeah. Yep. Miller time. What's Ainsworth's value and what of Liberatore and Sam Powell Pepper? What do we think there?
Is Powell Pepper still on the list or did he get delisted?
Wow.
I think Ainsworth's value is really low.
They'd all be quite low. Libber might still have a little bit of name value about him, but Powell Pepper and Ainsworth, yeah, very low.
You'd have to say with Gold Coast bringing in midfielders, likely drafting midfielders, that Ainsworth is going to be relegated to the forward line. There's probably going to be higher scoring players in said forward line, so that probably hurts his fantasy scoring. Might be a better player, but Liberatore, yeah.
Yeah, all right. We hope you're buying and not selling there. Is next year Chera's year from 5 question marks? That's probably the answer, is 5 question marks. Is it Chera's year next year? We're not too sure at this stage, but if the rumours of more midtime, hashtag more midtime, which is coming out thick and fast early, and you've got the new coach there, Brayshaw, saying it's going to be him and Chera in the midfield next year. You'd hope he can do it, but hasn't shown
he'll
us
be up.
Yet.
He'll be up, but it depends on how much.
Yeah,
he'll
be up. Monitor that one. Josh,
thoughts? You know it's going to be Stephen Hill season.
Yeah.
Have you seen that man running in the preseason? Like a goddamn gazelle.
Ooh, I'm all in. Josh, thoughts on what Jack Darling might be worth? 20 keepers in league, 10 draft picks coming in to make 30. 5715 league. Jack Darling, what's he worth?
Yeah, he's in a generally people's top 20.
Okay. Cherto, ruck conundrum. He has Nank, Marshall and Segler, and he can keep two of them. He's unsure of who to keep given Ryder's arrival at the Saints. And he does. Do you reckon Segler will keep his forward status? He scored well when Big Boy played in defence, but Frost and Patton have arrived, and Soldo hurts Nank, you reckon? So he's got 3 guys. This is a bit of the article that you put out on the Draft Doctors website, Steve, of your ruck conundrums you've got.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. I don't know why Marshall's a question mark. I think Marshall's just a lay down misere. I even tweeted out today, probably a bit more less concerned about the Ryder move than others are. So the question for me becomes Segler or or other chops. I don't know, even know why you need to keep either of them. Probably keep Segler.
Okay, Noah, not a question, more a thought. Why do AFL Fantasy Ultimate Footy positions not get announced until February, March? He's in a keeper league and no trade September until February because they worry players will get new or different positions. Is everyone else the same, he's wondering.
That's just down to the age and the people who build the game not releasing them.
AFL Fantasy, come out earlier.
If you want to know the earliest, you can get the whole list, subscribe to Supercoach Gold, and they will come out in December.
There you have it. Dan, someone in my Dynasty League wants to get Miller and Burton off me. He has offered me Matt Crouch and Taron Thomas for them. I'm not sure if this would be a sell high or sell low outcome for me. My team is even all over, so an extra premium mid would be handy.
Do it.
Do the trade. Do it.
Okay, do it. Cherto, have some oldies in the forward line, Buddy and Gaz. Hold or sell. Have a feeling Buddy will be solid this year. He's banking on a Buddy bounce back after seeing some preseason photos. Who's in on a Buddy bounce back? And what about Gaz, Jono?
No and no, because Buddy was probably just coming in to meet the new guys and get a coffee, and that's about it. He's not doing any preseason training. He's cooked.
Steve, this one's from Jem Hunter. Did Epstein kill himself?
Of course not. Of course not. And it's like when you look at one of those, you know, when you see Taylor Walker lining up from about 70 out, and he gets all that hang time. He didn't do that on his own.
All right, folks, there you have it. And that's all the questions. Thanks for
really,
listening.
No
to
love
Draft
on the
Doctors.
Hang time joke. Fuck you guys. I'm here for if you want to tweet Epstein didn't kill himself shit at the Draft Doctors, I'm here for that. You will get likes.
Hey, that's it for the Draft Doctors. Thanks for listening. Statesman, any closing thoughts? Thanks, as always, for your time across the Draft Doctors while I've been here and obviously before I came as well.
No, nothing more to do but thank you all, but I'll see you soon, hopefully. So, screw you guys, I'm going home.
All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.